We are continuing in our series on Proverbs. We're calling it Wise Up, and we're reading from the first chapter. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, for doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for Christ. And Lord, we are here saying we have decided, and there's no turning back for us, and we are sitting at your feet, ready to be instructed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome again to those of you who are tuning in on live stream. We are grateful that you are with us as well. I wonder how many Star Wars fans we have with us today. Anybody here Star Wars fan? I wonder, what is your favorite episode? You guys can comment at home. What's your favorite Star Wars movie? What do you guys think here? What's your favorite movie? The first one, does that mean the first one made or episode one? I'm pretty sure Jar Jar Binks is not your favorite character. A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, somebody said. What's that? The Last Jedi. Okay, so it's like all the original movies are the favorites. Recently, my family and I have gotten really into The Mandalorian. This is a great series. So one of my favorite parts of all of the Star Wars lore is when Luke Skywalker goes to the Dagobah system to go find Master Yoda and train to be a Jedi Knight. And he's, crawling around this horrible mosquito-infested swamp with things crawling out of the water, kind of like Florida, perhaps, we could think. And he finds Master Yoda, who eventually agrees to train him and rides around on his back as he does this intense physical training all running through the swamp. But it's not just physical training that Yoda is doing, it's also mental training. He's teaching them in the ways of the Force. He's got some key sayings. So one of my favorites is, when 900 years old you are, look as good, you will not. Another one that is just memorable, Yoda says to him, no, try not, do or do not, there is no try. Or finally, he says, he looks at Luke and senses the danger of what is to come. He says, I sense much fear in you. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. I'll work on my impression. Sometimes when I do it, it goes to weird like accents and, just goes off track. So I think that studying the book of Proverbs is something like Jedi training. It's not just something to be read. It's not like you're reading a story, like a lot of parts of the Bible. It's not narrative. It's these small, memorable quotes that are seeking to impart something very, very important that's going to navigate us for the path ahead. And so this morning's message is entitled The Jedi Training of Proverbs. And you are all invited to join us in this training. I'm sorry to say that there will be no lightsabers or levitation involved in this form of training, although maybe it happens in the later chapters of Proverbs. We're still early, so that could still happen. But we are invited to study at the feet of a wise sage. This one's not 900 years old, this one is 3,000 years old. And we're studying not the ways of the Force, but the ways of the Lord, the true, mightiest force in the universe. As the Jedi style study the knowledge of the Force and how it kind of interacts with all things, we study how the true knowledge of the one true God would guide us in all things. And that permeates every aspect of our being, every aspect of our choices. And if we study this, it leads us to become powerful in the ways of the Lord and successful in our lives. Proverbs, like Star Wars, presents us with a stark choice, right? Yoda is always warning Luke about the temptations of the dark side. He's like, you know, just, you got to be ready for that temptation when it comes to choose the way of light. And the Proverbs are the same way. The Proverbs go on and on and on, warning us about the two paths that diverge and urging us to take the right path. And rigorous study of the wisdom of the Lord will prepare us to not choose the way of the dark side. So what is a proverb? A proverb, in a nutshell, is a bite-sized wisdom nugget. A proverb is something that you can just grab a hold of. It's kind of one bite's worth. You just kind of read it. It's a couple of sentences, and you take it in, and it gives some little piece of nourishment right there in the moment. But if you keep kind of chewing and reflecting on it, it gives kind of deeper application in the future. They're short, memorable, thought-provoking sayings that if we obey them, they will spare us a lot of trouble. So we see in the opening chapter the explanation, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. They don't all come from Proverbs. I mean, they don't all come from Solomon. We see some other, you know, authors that, you know, attributed along the way, but kind of this opening is attributed to Solomon. And the purpose of it, we see in verse 2, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight. This is chapter 1, verse 2. For gaining wisdom and instruction. So you can think of the word wisdom as like knowing the right path. Like I know where I am going. Like this is the way that I am to go. That is wisdom. Instruction means that you're actually choosing the way. The NIV translates it instruction. It used to translate it discipline in older translations. Many times in other translations, it's translated as correction. This is the Hebrew word musar. And what it means is not just pure knowledge, but it's like correction in moral behavior. Like we've gone off the rails into some darker path, and then someone kind of sets you back on course. So wisdom is knowing the way. And then the instruction, correction is about, you know, developing the pattern in our lives, the habits of choosing the way. So Proverbs are about wisdom and instruction, knowing the right path and then habitually choosing the right path. We see in verse 3 also, this is a big foundational concept here. In verse 3 it says, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, like the smart path, and then it says, doing what is right and just and fair, the right path. Okay, now this is something that is foundational and super important in Proverbs, but it's not universally assumed in our modern American culture. For us, I bet you can imagine a situation in which doing the smart thing and the right thing are different. Where you're thinking, oh, this is just good business sense. You know, a lot of times people would say that to us, this is good business sense to, I don't know, maybe fudge the numbers a little bit, maybe not kind of reveal information that doesn't need to be revealed, maybe do something that maybe some people would think is a little bit underhanded, but boy, it's going to spare me a lot of trouble. We could conceive of people thinking that's just smart and then having a crisis of conscience to think, but maybe it's not the right thing. And so they're choosing, should I do the smart thing or the right thing? But in the book of Proverbs, that is never possible. The book of Proverbs would never say that you're choosing between the smart thing and the right thing, because in the book of Proverbs, the assumption of the book is that the smart thing and the right thing are always the same. Those things are always the same. Now, we might not think that in our own thinking. We might differentiate those two. But the reason that Proverbs holds those things always the same is because of God. It factors in the present reality of God into all choices, and that changes the math. We'll come back to that in a minute. Okay, Proverbs, it says, are for beginners. In verse 4, it says, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So this is basically saying, if you are a moron, Proverbs is the book for you. This is absolutely for idiots like me. I can start here. If I got no concept of how to live my life, I could start here and get the first few steps. But it's also for wise people. We see in verse 5, also let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance. So wise people like Jessica, who already have life figured out, you can't say you're just too good for Proverbs, you've got it all figured out. You can even add to your high level of wisdom, Jessica. So pay attention. Okay. So you got it? So it's for all of us. And then we come to this supreme key, this foundational theology to the book in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord. This is how it works. The Proverbs factor God into every situation, to every equation. God is real, present, good, powerful, and active. And this changes my choices. So if you're kind of doing some math about some decision, you're like, well, the smart choice would save me this amount of money, but then doing the right thing, well, that's going to cost me this amount of money. And you're thinking that you're choosing between that. Well, it's not just saying do the right thing instead of the smart thing. It's actually changing the math. Because God is at work, that actually doing the right thing is going to turn out to be the smart thing. Because God's at work, because God is at work in the universe, because he's watching you, because he cares about our actions, because he's good, the right path is going to end up being the smartest beneficial path. The fear of the Lord, the counting in, the respecting of the force of God more than the forces of the world is the fear of the Lord. And to count him into our choices is this essential underlying idea of Proverbs. Okay, so we are invited not just to read this and think, oh, those are kind of cute fortune cookie type sayings. The idea is we're gonna actually be invited into training. Proverbs invite us into like a radical retraining of our minds that reorient us to a different way of thinking that then reorients our lives. It leads us to choices that might not make sense to the world. So back to my Star Wars illustration, remember the moment in the very first movie ever made, A New Hope, when Luke Skywalker is in his X-Wing fighter, you know, going in for the attack run on the Death Star, and he's using all the technology, the targeting technology, which is not working, and he suddenly realizes he should use the Force. And he turns off his targeting computer. I think he closes his eyes and just fires blind, and everyone thinks he's done, but it goes in and it blows up the Death Star, right? It's like, it's a different way of thinking. Because he's thinking of the Force, he's like, this makes sense to close my eyes and shoot. But in life, what the Proverbs teach us is that when we factor in the force of God, the ways of God, we're gonna maybe make choices that don't seem to make sense to people, but when you add in God, they make perfect sense. But we are forgetful. And the Proverbs know that we are forgetful, that we learn lessons and we forget them. Anybody here feel like you've had to learn the same lesson more than once? Right? This is like repeated in our lives over and over again. And so we see that voice of kind of the mother, father that we studied last week in chapter 3, verse 1, come and say this: my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. Don't forget, don't forget. I was notorious for forgetting when I was a kid. I could not remember what my mom told me to do. And I don't just mean in the normal sense, like what my kids do. Oh, I didn't remember. I mean, I actually really did forget, and my kids are just faking it. Okay? My mom would send me, we're about to have the family dinner, and we're going to sit down for dinner, and my mom would say, okay, Matt, go wash your hands for dinner. And I would go to the bathroom, and I'd be on my way, and I would mean well. I would want to accomplish my mission. I was hungry. I wanted to eat. So I intended well, but I would go there, and I would get to the bathroom, and I would completely forget, why am I here? Like, what am I doing? What am I doing? And I would just kind of wander off, and I just kind of wander to a different room, and maybe I'd feel a little bit tired, and sometimes I would crawl behind a chair and take a nap. And sometimes I kind of crawl under my bed and surround myself with cardboard boxes and take a nap, which was kind of a theme. And what do you think would happen in my family? they would freak out. They would look, what happened to Matt? Be like, he disappeared. He was just here a second ago. He disappeared. They would call for me. They would search the rooms. Several times, they ended up searching the neighborhood, sending out my older brother on his bike. And one time, there was search parties, look, of neighbors scouring the neighborhood looking for me. It was quite a lot of time passed until somebody in my family found me sleeping behind a chair. And I was just supposed to wash my hands. I just could not remember. Now, my mom figured out a way to keep me on task. What she made were flashcards. She made little flashcards, and they had pictures of, by the way, this did not happen in like high school or something. Okay? This is not still happening in my life, okay? This was when I was a little kid, if I didn't say that earlier. Okay, little flashcards, and they'd have a picture of somebody washing their hands or a picture of a toothbrush, things like that. And she'd say, Matt, do this. And I would take the card with me, and I'd walk to the bathroom. I'd get to the bathroom. What am I doing here? Oh, and I'd remember. I'd wash my hands, and then I would make it back. And that was the flashcard system. Okay, so that's when I was a little kid. So fast forward in time, now I'm in high school, and I'm successfully washing my hands. I'm successfully brushing my teeth and coming back a lot of the time. I often had selective hearing with my mom, and she would teach me other lessons, and I just kind of wouldn't really remember them. One of the things my mom tried for years to teach me was to not put a glass of ice water directly on a wood surface, but to use a coaster, okay? How many people have tried to train someone in your house to use a coaster? Anybody? Okay, how many of you are the person that's being trained to use a coaster? Okay, I see a lot of elbows. I see some guilty admissions here. Okay, so I've always been the guy that is forgetting and not using the coaster. So you drive my mom crazy. And finally, my mom, just one day, she, in my telling it, she snapped. In her telling of it, she had a brilliant idea. I'll let you be the judge. Okay, I'm just not getting through. So she came up with just this one short, memorable phrase, and she got up in my face, and she just starts saying it over and over and over. And she's like, Matt, look at me. Glasses with ice leave rings. Glasses with ice leave rings. Glasses with ice leave rings. Say it with me. Glasses with ice. She would say hi. Glasses with ice leave rings. Glasses with ice leave rings. She just said it over. She must have said it like 50 times. I'm like, Mom, stop. I get it. Okay. Glasses with ice. Okay. But think about it. Decades have gone by, and I can say that lesson verbatim. I like still like think about it every time I see the ring. I'm like, oh my gosh, my mom told me glasses with ice leave rings. Okay, this is kind of what Proverbs accomplish. It's something that these are lessons that we can forget. We keep going through the cycle, but it takes a little phrase, a little piece of wisdom, a little thing that we have to understand. It makes it short, makes it memorizable. A lot of times there's some kind of fun turn of phrase or kind of this interesting contrast, and it just takes some piece of wisdom and it just puts it clearly in our mind so that we can repeat it, that we can memorize it and remember it. And then if we do it, it has this blessing in verse 2. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Okay, now here's the thing. They prolong your life if you do them, not if you don't do them. I'll give you an example. When I was a kid, I remember learning about the four food groups. Anybody remember the four food groups? I know some of you think that chocolate and candy, I know certainly my kids think those are part of the four food groups, but no, I remember one of the four food groups was fruits and vegetables. Okay, then later, a more complex version came out, it was like the food pyramid. I still can't remember for the life of it, I couldn't draw the food pyramid for you, but I remembered it emphasized vegetables again. That was like another significant part on there, vegetables. But it doesn't matter how many times that I saw that in classrooms. I went off to college, and when I was making food for myself, I'm not sure I ate a vegetable until I met my wife. Right? I mean, at least maybe I did accidentally or just kind of incidental vegetables they throw on burgers. But I don't have memories of actually choosing vegetables. All my memories of food are burgers and fries. Does that count? Does the potato count? I'm not sure. Burritos, pizza with extra meat. I mean, I just don't ever remember choosing vegetables. But then I met Joy, and she loved eating healthy, and then we got married, and then she does a lot of cooking, and she feeds me vegetables at basically every meal. And I think that she has extended my life by several years. I am absolutely sure. I'm still walking around and breathing because she fed me vegetables. Now, think about it for a second. I learned about vegetables from the four food groups and the food pyramids. I'm sure that my mom emphasized it many times. But when I was making life choices for myself, I wasn't making good choices. And so none of that knowledge extended my life at all until it was ingested. My wife's wisdom and my wife's discipline extended my life by many years. This is a key part of Proverbs, is knowing is not the same as doing. And if we actually learn and do, then we reap the benefits of that. The speech goes on to tell us about the virtues of Proverbs, central virtues. So we're thinking about, okay, if we're going to receive this wisdom, what kind of person is it shaping us into? If we're going to kind of receive this wisdom over the next couple of months, soaking it in, who do we become? And we see these central virtues beginning in verse 3. It says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. It's like love and faithfulness is these key virtues. It's like they escape us. Aren't those things, love and faithfulness, things that we want and we cherish, but sometimes we just kind of in the moment we forget about them and we just choose other paths. And so he's saying, don't let them out of your sight. It has this image of as though this rigorous training in Proverbs, it's like wrapping love and faithfulness around our neck so it can't get away, writing it down deep in our heart so that we always have it with us. It's going to train us to become people of love and faithfulness. And then this third virtue, trust, we see in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Love and faithfulness and trust. This is the way. Anybody a Mandalorian fan here? The code that he lives by. This is the code of Proverbs. Love, faithfulness, and trust. That is the way forward for us. But how do we become that kind of person? I mean, I'm sure that many of us could identify that love and faithfulness and trust in God, those are things that we want in our lives. How do we actually inscribe them into our hearts? How do they become things that are second nature for us? You know, how does that happen? And the thing that I just want to say to you here at the outset of this series, we're going to be studying the book of Proverbs the next couple of months, is to think of it in terms of training. Right? You don't show up to play in a football game having never practiced and expect that you're going to do well. Your team is going to win, right? You don't show up at a job having never studied in school, having never done anything, and think you're going to have all the skills that you need. We know what it means to study and to practice and to train for all aspects of our lives. But sometimes we don't think about it in terms of our moral choices. We just think that's just something I'm going to wing. Well, we're inviting you to these next weeks is actually to some training. I'm going to soak myself in the knowledge and the wisdom and the ways of the Lord so that when I come to these crucial moments of decision and how I interact with people and how I act at the office, that we make choices that are in line with that wisdom of God. So I want to invite you into that training. How many of you have received this book? It says Wise Up. Some of you got it in the mail. Okay, great. We tried to mail this out to the mailing list. We have a bunch of extra copies. I think, Jessica, we have copies up here. You can come and get them at the church office as well. So this is a 10-week guide, the book of Proverbs. We're in week 2 now. What's going to happen going forward is that we're going to, the Proverbs are not actually organized in the book of Proverbs thematically. So you're kind of on one topic and then you kind of jump to the next topic. What I've done is I've just organized them into 8 key areas and we're going to study them thematically. So we're going to jump around the book in order to study one theme at a time. I want to give you just a little bit of preview of what is to come. Again, you can get this book. You can use it as your own personal devotional guide to go along. They correspond with what we're doing here on Sunday morning. You can use it in a small group setting or a micro group, which means you just grab a couple of friends and organize your own discussion group or with your family. And hopefully this will add to your training. Let me just give you a preview of where we're going to be going in the next few months in our Jedi training. Okay, next week in week 3, session 3, it says, pride, the mark of the fool. This is really important. It's a big theme in the book of Proverbs is that the central key difference between the wise person and the foolish person is the wise person welcomes advice, right? If somebody rebukes them, they say, thank you. But the foolish person is the one who gets offended. So how do we become people who are humble enough and wise enough to listen to wise counsel? The next week, session 4, it says justice and the fear of God. Okay, I know for myself, in my own personal Christian faith, there was a long period of time in which I really struggled in my faith. I actually thought I was going to lose my faith for a lot of years because of 2 big things that troubled me. One of them was, why does God allow so much injustice in the world? Okay, I've encountered a lot of human suffering caused by other people, and I just wonder, like, why would God let that happen? I mean, why doesn't he do anything about it, you know? And then on the other side, I see that the problem of an angry God in the Old Testament. Why does God always seem angry and, like, harsh, and it's hard to relate to? And these were 2 things that I struggled with. Well, a huge breakthrough in my faith was I realized that those 2 things are really hard to answer unless you put them together. And actually, the best way to understand the angry God of the Old Testament is to understand it in light of the injustices of our world. And you realize God is angry at the injustice. He's not doing nothing. He's actively fighting against the injustice. And we're going to see in the Proverbs how that fear of the Lord, the understanding of the fear of God's anger, actually helps us to become people of justice who treat each other right and fairly. And so anyway, I hope you'll be here for that week, and I'll introduce you to some of our work with International Justice Mission to see how that plays out in a real-world setting. Okay, session 5 is about our words. How many people have ever regretted something you've said? How many people have ever regretted something someone said to you? I mean, think about, our words are powerful. They can be used for destruction or for giving life. And we're going to see what the Proverbs have to say about how we can watch our words. Week 6 is about family relationships, husbands and wives, parents and children, and we're going to understand the family as that sacred ancient setting for the passing down of lessons learned. Then session 7 is about anger. Anger, man, is alive and well in our world today, and we see it on every news channel, we see it on every radio, I mean, just anger feels like it is everywhere. And we're going to see, what do the Proverbs say? Is it really wise to vent anger, or are there other paths forward with it? And then session 8, temptation. It teaches us, how do we flee temptation? How do we recognize it? How do we resist turning to the dark side? Session 9 is about work. You know, Proverbs is just so practical when it comes to our everyday work life. Sometimes maybe you think, oh, the Bible doesn't have much to say about what I do on a day-to-day basis at the office. But actually, the book of Proverbs is probably the book of the Bible that has the most to say about how we conduct ourselves out in our work life. And so we're going to see, what does it have to say about business ethics and things along those lines? We'll study the woman of noble character in Proverbs 31. Session 10 is about money. The book of Proverbs actually has a pretty positive view of money and wealth as a blessing from God and a reward for hard work and smart investing, but it also cautions us about that we need to know about its limitations and about his distractions and temptations as well. And so it seeks to make us wise about how we use our money. So that's kind of the plan going forward. We're going to have 8 weeks. There are groupings of topical proverbs, and we're going to use this time, both on Sunday morning and using this study guide, to be rigorous training for ourselves so that we can become the kind of people that reflect the heart of God. We have a God who is loving, who is faithful, and we are going to become people who are loving and faithful and trusting in Him through this training. I want to close our time this morning by just sort of saying over you chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 20, there's again from this opening speech, this imploring of us to choose the right path. This father says to his son these last reminders, and what they do is they take us through thinking about our own body as a way to kind of have this holistic sense of turning ourselves to God. It thinks about our ears and our eyes and our feet and different parts of our body. And I just want to say it over you as a blessing, as a prayer, and as an encouragement. In chapter 4, verse 20, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips, and let your eyes gaze straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways." Would you pray with me? God, we come before you broken sinners. We come before you foolish mistake makers. Lord, we have bad habits. We mess up. Oh God, you know our failings. But Lord, we trust in the mercy of Christ. Lord, we trust that the blood of Jesus pays for all of our sins, oh God, that you forgive us, that you dwell within us if we ask you, and that you lead us. We pray that you would shape us, God, into people who reflect your wisdom, your vision for our lives. God, we don't trust our own eyes, but we pray that you would be our vision. We don't trust our own minds, we pray that you would be our wisdom. Oh God, be our shield, be our guide in this life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I invite you to stand for our closing song, "Be Thou My Vision."
Oh Lord,
Thank you for joining us for worship today. Thank you to all of you also on the live stream. Your presence matters to us as well. Hear now the benediction. And now may the God who sees all, who is real and present and active and powerful, be in your heart and be your vision and be your wisdom and be your way maker. May you know his ways and may you follow him and may they lead you in straight paths. God bless you. Amen.